89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Is it bad that we're like, just make sure you're not Muslim too?
You said that? No, hello.
Okay. You know what's a dumb thing I do? That's makes me equivalent to a baby?
What?
No. It's like a really dumb thing. So, like, I do this thing where I forget that I have a bottle in my, like, I'm holding a bottle like this. If you're listening, I put it, like, in my armpit. Like, you know, sometimes you do that.
Sure.
Well, I'll do that and I'll forget the cap is open. And there are multiple instances where I'll bend over and just pour out the whole contents of the bottle. That happened last night.
Oh, no.
It was the worst.
What was it? Was it a protein shake or just water?
No, thankfully it was just water.
Okay.
But it's happened with everything. Everything you can think of. And thankfully there's no carpet around or anything like that. It was just on a regular hardwood floor, so I was able to clean it. But yeah, that happens more often than it should. There's
Damn.
A lot of things like that.
Damn. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection
Podcast. Thank you for joining us.
It's been another busy week.
It's been a very busy week.
Another Monday recording.
I know.
I
don't
want
this.
More and more frequent.
I know, but I don't want it to be.
I feel like we should start doing, like, Thursday recordings. No, Friday recordings. You want to feel relaxed. Now we got a whole week ahead of us.
That is true.
But yeah, so, you know, it's been a busy week. Still basically living in, like, an empty apartment. Mm-hmm. Our biggest accomplishment.
Whoa.
It's late. It's late, okay.
His biggest accomplishment.
Our biggest accomplishment.
There you go.
In the past, like, week was, like, getting a bed frame. We kind of just gave
You got a bed frame?
No. Not like a real bed frame, but like we got one like the Walmart bed frame.
Okay.
Like the basic black, like just a box. Not a box, but like legs and the frame. That's it. And we're like, we'll make it work. We'll get a headboard and like make it look nice or cute, whatever.
Yeah.
But like at least we don't have to like sleep on the floor, literally.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than sleeping
on
the floor.
But the thing is that like one thing that we've been actually Hanan made a comment about this, and like I've always known about this, I've been self-aware about this, but time moves by so quickly. I don't know if it's just this city and like all the driving that you do, because like one thing that I took away from this week is that we did a lot of driving, just more driving than I've ever done before. And like I was here like, oh, I'm moving to the West End, I'm gonna be doing less driving. No, I've been doing like, of course it's a setting up, right? But I've been doing like double the amount of driving.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, you know, my wife's like, is her first experience here, and when your first week of experience in Toronto is just driving all the time, it's like, damn, is this all you guys do?
Well, to be fair, because it's her first week and she hasn't like officially moved, a lot of it is like visiting people and...
No, honestly, it's just...
Or maybe like going to the store to buy stuff a lot.
Oh, yeah, that too. Like and time is like moving so quickly.
But also like you're not going to do that in your like regular routine. Like you're not going to need to go to the store like 5 times in a week.
Yeah.
I mean, depends on the week, but
I guess so. But and like we have local stores, right? But just the things specifically that you need are like are just outside of range. So just once we get settled, I feel like it'll be a lot less of that, for hopefully, inshallah. But for now, I know. And I think like the thing that makes it feel a lot worse is just the amount of, like, I know we keep going back to this, but the amount of construction in the city, it, you never feel it as much when you have to get across the city back and forth multiple times, right?
I mean, you still feel it. You just, like, you've accepted it.
Yeah, but then, like, I don't know. I think the biggest frustration was, like, I think there was one time where we left to go to Scarborough at, like, 10 p.m. at night.
And to come here?
And it took double, it almost took doubly, no, yeah, to come here. Oh. And it took double the amount of time it would normally take.
Why? Oh, construction.
Because, like, they had closed the highway or something like that. For some strange reason, on a on like the busiest night,
so of annoying. The week.
But yeah, so that was a whole thing. But it does make you think about like how much time, how precious time is, but also like the currency of time and like what you're spending time on. Like I've always been self aware about this. You already know this. I've been super self aware about time in all its forms. Not only like. Literally it day-to-day time, but like time, lifetime, that kind of stuff. Yeah, and maximizing it and all that.
I also think she has I don't know if she was the one that made this point or you did, but if it does feel like Toronto is a pretty big city, and majority of people that live here live a fast-paced life. Like we're so used to it that we almost don't even realize it until we're out of Toronto. Like, and I've said this before, but the first time I went to Australia in 2017, the first thing I noticed was like how relaxed people were.
Yeah.
And it made me feel more anxious. I'm like, oh my God, why aren't they like, why are you guys moving so slow? Like, hurry up. And then I realized like, no, this is just their way of life. Like for them, they don't. Oh.
No, you're just clipping the mic. So
was I?
Yeah.
How about now? Okay. Yeah, now it's good. Or is it too loud still?
You're good now. You're
okay.
Good.
But yeah, like it made me realize that big cities like Toronto, even LA felt a little slower paced. Maybe it's because they have like.
Yeah, because it's a city. It's like it's a metropolitan city.
But LA didn't feel as like rushed as Toronto does.
No, I'm saying Toronto is metropolitan like New York.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And that like it never sleeps. There's always something going on. There's always something to do. There's always somewhere to go. Like. That's one thing you have to learn to balance in this city is like making time for yourself versus like for other things. Cause if you wanted to, you can make yourself busy every single day.
Yeah. It's not fun. Don't do that. Yeah. I don't recommend.
But yeah, once winter or like when school hits and stuff,
she's going to literally have, seasonal depression. I feel
bad. Don't say that on here. She listens. Okay.
I know she listens. Hanan.
No. There's no such thing as seasonal depression. Don't worry.
Yes. We get it. Okay. We live here.
It'll be totally fine. We'll have each other. Don't worry about that. Okay.
Whatever you do, just like be outside or sit by the window all day while the sun is there. And then at night you can be sad. But like, yeah.
No, don't set her up for failure.
I'm giving her realistic expectations because if she thinks it's going to be like, oh my God, we're going to have so much fun. It's going to be a winter wonderland.
It is. It is going to be a winter wonderland. We're going to have all the fun.
Hanan, go watch back our previous episodes from the winter.
Don't listen to her. Okay. I got over that. I found ways to get around it. Okay. And we will find them things together.
How did you get over it? How'd you get over it?
By, you know, going outside, you know, having fun, going skating, finding cool, fun things to do inside the house, you know, chilling, watching some of your favorite TV shows.
Yeah, but you're working.
Going to people's houses and chilling. We did that a lot last year, didn't we not?
Did we?
Yeah, we went to like, you know, our friends' places, hung out, had game nights a lot. Oh, we had a lot of game nights, actually. We did. Especially in this house.
See,
she doesn't know what she's talking about. What are you talking about?
No, Amir's trying to gaslight me, okay?
No, but yeah, time has been something that I've been thinking about more because like it's just it's flying by. Like you don't realize it.
Yeah,
right?
We do when we don't.
What do you mean?
We do realize it when we're conscious about it, and then sometimes you're so used to like not being conscious of
it. Yeah.
That's the word. Like when you like not forget about it, but you just choose to not pay attention to it. Whatever.
Or you do things like I feel like I've always been so self-aware of it that I've done things to like counteract that, like to take back my own time by like whenever for work, once I'm done work, unless like I'm doing like some after hours overtime, whatever, which is rare. once I'm done work, like, I make sure to dedicate, like, a few things to myself, like, whether it be going on a walk, mm-hmm. going to the gym, like, what do you call it again? I don't know, watching my favorite TV show or movie or whatever, going out and doing something, right?
Just
making sure, because if you're going to dedicate, like, if you think about the currency time, like, they say time is...
money?
No, time is money, but also it's
valuable.
Valuable, but also it's, like, invaluable. What is that whole word?
Priceless,
right?
That's the word you were
giving
thinking
it,
of?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if that's a saying, okay? But essentially, you're giving a lot of that time every day to work, or at least 5 days a week
to work.
Yeah,
and if you're commuting, that's another hour or two, especially if you don't live in Toronto and you live mm-hmm. outside of the city. Like,
yeah, and you see a lot of videos these days on TikTok of, like, Gen Z realizing this and, like, rejecting it immediately and saying, this is not what I want to do. I don't know how you guys have been doing this for the past hundreds of years of this, or even 100 or 200 years. Because, honestly, this idea of, like, the 9-to-5 life is actually a fairly new concept. It's only been here for the last 100, maybe 150 years. Of course, before that, people just worked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like... in a sense, everything was still theirs. It was, everybody was, like, their own entrepreneur. Maybe that's wrong.
No, wasn't it?
Because there was worker exploitation. There was a lot of child labor. You know, I'm looking at this through rose-colored glasses a little bit.
I'm gonna say, they didn't.
Yeah,
they weren't all entrepreneurs, wasn't it? Also,
but this is just a different form of that.
Yeah, no, I know, and I think, like, in terms of. You know, you and I always mm-hmm. talk about work-life balance, especially this girl mm-hmm. right here. mm-hmm. Struggled with that so bad. And I, in the last, like, couple of months, I think it just, like, hit me mm-hmm. that, like, I really need to get my shit together.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, setting boundaries and just being more strict with that work-life balance. And now
mm-hmm.
there are days where... I'm getting better, okay? I don't log off right at 3:59, maybe like 4:20, mm-hmm. which is better than 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, the downside of that is that, like, I was having this conversation actually with, I can't remember who, but someone at work, and they mm-hmm. were talking about, like, what's, like, are we actually more productive in the office versus at home? And mm-hmm. I was saying, like, well, part of coming into the office, like, I don't mind being in the office.
Yeah.
The issue is the commute.
Exactly.
If I lived in the building next door, I would happily go in every single day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's just that, like, struggle of, like, having to commute to work. Mm-hmm. Plus, and even if, like, my house to downtown is 25 minutes
mm-hmm.
with traffic and construction and everything else that kind of interrupts your commute there. It could be up to an hour, sometimes an hour and a half if it's really bad, which is great. Like, that's actually insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you had the same struggle now, hopefully not as much.
Exactly. That was actually when I'm speaking about time, like, the big reason that I moved to closer to work or to the West End is because of that.
How far is your, or how long is your
now drive? It's like 25 minutes.
How happy are, do you drive with a smile on your face to work?
Actually, I haven't even had that full experience yet.
Oh,
because it's been so busy, like, doing things right after work. That I haven't had that ability. Like,
no, but in the mornings, like...
Oh, in the mornings, yeah. Okay, it's great in the morning because I can wake up, like, at, like, 7:20 and be at work at, like, 8 o'clock, easy.
That's actually, like, that's a flex.
Hey, I'm just saying. It's a new thing I'd like to get... Or I'm happy to get used to.
Until you eventually... I mean, if whether or not you buy a home or, mm-hmm. like, you want to move into a bigger place that might be further out or depending on
exactly,
which direction
yeah.
you move, right? But...
But also, like, you also, one thing, you know, I can tell you about experience now because I have a partner in my life, okay?
It's still new, but yeah, go ahead.
But your
give
time.
Me a new experience.
Like, once you're married, your time is no longer just your time, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So now it's like a learning curve. Like, you have to learn how to share that. Because before, I was so used to my own routine. Like, you can try and, like, force feed that routine and, like, get that your partner to join you in that routine. But...
It's not going to last that long.
Yeah, it's a losing battle, right? So you have to, like, learn to balance it. And, of course, right now it's not really a time to do that because we're kind of figuring out, like, what our living situation... Not living situation, but, like, what our place is going to look like. What's going to be set up like. But once that's kind of done, we have to figure out that whole part.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, you hear all of these, I don't want to call them horror stories, but stories mm-hmm. about people losing themselves in mm-hmm. their marriage, because there's usually, like, usually in the dynamic, there's always, like, the one person who's more of the people pleaser mm-hmm. than the other one that's more, like, my way or the highway. And yeah. so the people pleaser, unfortunately, gets the shorter end of the stick. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of do everything to appease their partner.
Yeah.
And they end up losing their
sense of self.
Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. And, like, it's so important to remain, like, obviously you're trying to build something together, but also remain your individual selves and have your own mm-hmm. identity, so that you don't feel like you've compromised your entire self just to be in a relationship.
Like, but do you feel like that's harder to do when you're both older?
Okay. Oh my gosh. Actually, what? That's a really good topic. I had so many things to talk about, but this is even better. Well, who did I speak to about the, again, way past
taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Conversation mm-hmm. where we were talking about, like, whether it was better, quote unquote, to mm-hmm. get married when you're really young or when you're a little bit more established and older, mm-hmm. depending on the vibe. And, like, one of the cons of getting married older is that you're already established in your ways, and it's yeah. going to be harder to break those habits and then have to build new ones with this partner. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that's entirely true. Maybe if you're, like, someone who's very stubborn and set in their ways, you're gonna have, like, a harder time.
It depends on that person's, like, emotional intelligence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you're lacking that emotional maturity, then yeah, of course you're gonna have a very mm-hmm. hard time, and maybe you might think you have a realization of, like, oh, maybe relationships are not for me, or maybe yeah. I should live away from my partner, which mm-hmm. like, to each their own. But I think that if you have that, like, obviously when you make the decision to get married or be in a committed relationship, mm-hmm. you know some of the things that that comes with. So that means sharing your time, sharing your space,
yeah,
sharing your money. Mm-hmm. Amir.
Hey, you know, I'm a provider kind of guy, you know?
We she love to spend see none it. Of her money. We love to see it.
Except for, you know, sometimes when she offers, I'm just saying. Okay.
With using your credit card?
Secretly?
Yeah.
No. But I feel like we culturally, we're like, you know, oh, you know, I want to play this time. No?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We are like that.
And sometimes I'd be like, I only fight it once.
If you insist.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but, like, you know, I think that if you already understand what mm-hmm. a relationship entails, like those parts of it,
yeah.
then you kind of just embrace it. Is it going to be easy? Maybe not. It's mm-hmm. it's obviously it's an adjustment, and not just for you but for her too.
Yeah.
And for anyone really that's in a relationship, I think that's the hardest part. Mm-hmm. Like the everything else, like the good parts of a relationship are good.
Yeah.
It's like the actual work that you have to put into it. You know, like, and I think we spoke about this last week where you were saying, like, oh, my routine's, like, no longer gonna exist.
Yeah.
Of, like, what you typically would do, and we were talking about, like, you stressing of, like, okay, how am I going to make it work? But mm-hmm. it's kind of just like, give yourself a blank slate and
yeah.
just literally just create a new routine. It's going
to
suck.
That's literally what I have to do right now.
But,
like, it helps that it helps now that I'm closer, because, like, also since she works technically in a different time zone, like, you know, it kind of works out where, like, I can kind of do a couple things before she's finished. And, you know, so, like, I feel like, of course I haven't figured it out yet, because my routine, I still have not made any routine yet, and it still feels very weird. Like, every day I'm thinking about, like, when am I going to make my food, when am I gonna, like, prep something. I haven't been able to prep
I just so know long. You're Chris.
Yeah.
Miss Key.
It's like, oh my god, I forgot to take out the meat like I normally do. Like, there's so many things.
You know what I'm gonna buy you?
What?
You know those mats that, like, defrost the meat really quickly, so you don't have to
Is there a mat that does that?
I'll get you one.
Is that like safe though? Like, will it cook the meat a little bit, or what?
No, it's not hot. Mm-hmm. It's just some kind of technology. Our aunt has one, a Khastafozia.
Really?
Yeah, it's so sick. Like in 30 minutes, it'll defrost your
I'll
stuff.
I'll put it on the registry.
Oh, I already know. No, but yeah, like, mm-hmm. I get it. I feel for you.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll give it a couple weeks.
Yeah, give you it know, some time.
We still got to move a lot of things around. Mm. But I feel like next week she's going to be good. But, like, in the next coming weeks, mm-hmm. that'll kind of, like, even out. It'll come back slowly.
By the time it's, like, November after all.
Nah, November.
No, because until she's, like, here. Mm-hmm. Permanently,
yeah.
That's when you're gonna really start like figuring out, okay, so these are the days we like to go grocery mm-hmm. shopping, these are the days we like to, you know, visit your mom, for example, yeah. These are the days you like to have a date night for
but then
like,
again, at the end of the day, I am the man of the house, so I determine a lot of that house rules and the schedule that we will be running by. Okay,
the fact that you put on that voice, just, you didn't even take that seriously. You and I know Hanan's rolling her eyes right now.
No, she hates that.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I know sometimes, and maybe guys don't feel this as much, but sometimes when you get married, some couples say that they feel very like isolated from their family and friends. Like life just quiets down. I think because leading up to the wedding or the mm-hmm. nikah or whatever, there's a lot of this like hustle and bustle mm-hmm. and like everyone's around and talking to you. And then the minute you get married and you're like kind of settling into your new place mm-hmm. together, it just kind of like quiets out and people start to feel a little bit like isolated. Have you guys felt that?
I haven't felt that, but that seems like a good thing in my...
It is a good thing.
Because I just like being, you know, in a quiet, like I don't feel a stress about like...
Oh, the
hustle and bustle. Like, you know, I like to settle down a bit too. I told you, you know, even though we're in a hustle and bustle city, yeah. I do like to, you know, just take a relax, go on my walk, do my workout, cook my food, edit a little bit, end the day, done. That's it.
You're just describing your routine right now.
I know, I just did it.
No, but like, do you get what I mean? Have you heard that before? Or
I haven't heard that. Maybe it's... I was going to sound sexist.
You're going to say it's more of a girl thing?
Yeah, I feel like it's more of a girl thing.
I don't know.
I don't think guys are like that.
You guys let us know, men.
This is all anecdote of one, which is me.
Men who are listening that are married, when you first got married, mm-hmm. do you feel like you, like after you settled in, like, you know, things you kind of felt isolated from your family and friends? And sometimes.
I feel like I can speak for a lot of men and say, like, I don't think men really think about that. They're just happy that they're in a house with their wife.
And no, but like, you know, especially if. Like, you still have single friends that maybe can't relate to, like, the place that you're in life, for example. Or mm-hmm. or you feel that separation. You're like, oh, well. Because, you know, sometimes people have this, I don't want to call it a complex. Mm-hmm. But when you get married, it's like your whole mentality starts to shift. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay. And we were talking about this. You were saying, now I have this responsibility and this responsibility. Yeah. So you start to think about these things. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe someone who's not married doesn't have the same... They may have responsibilities, but just not the same mm-hmm. ones. And so you start to feel like, oh, like, you know, I can't hang out, guys. You guys don't get it. Like, I'm busy now.
I feel like that would be like something I could truly answer in like 6 months. Like when I fully settle into it. Mm. Like, and you have like more of a routine and like you guys have like talked about, you know, what how much time you need from each other and all that stuff. Then you have a better idea of how to answer that. Because right now, I feel like because everything's so chaotic and we're just trying to figure out, like, every day is like, just, okay, let's just figure out how we can do this, this, and that. Like, nothing's settled yet. Mm. Everything's still up in the air. So I can't really say that I feel isolated yet because, like, also, like, visiting people all the time, going around.
Do you feel like your life is that Nicki Minaj
Maybe
song?
She's different. What?
No, that's like, you know that one TikTok
song? Oh, yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't even know how to sing the, it's not English, but yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Do you feel like your life is like that right now?
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. Every day. Like, I'm just, my mind's going like a mile a minute of like, okay. And also, you start like scheduling out things. You're like, okay, I have to do that tomorrow. So that whole afternoon is taken out and then I can't do that. So I'm like, I have to go and buy this thing, but like there's no time to do it on this day. And like you're going day after day and you're like, okay, that day is taken up with this. And like, oh, I can't do it on this day. Oh, because we're going there. Blah, blah, blah. We have to go to these people's houses. Oh, then she leaves then. And you're going through all that and you're like, damn, like three weeks from now, I'm already booked out. And like the things we need, we can't even get. Mm-hmm. You know? So the thing I was talking about last week, where like stressing about how to fill out the place in like the design or the aesthetic, like that's actually been a stressor for the past week.
But yeah, but I was telling you, like, take your time with it.
But like the thing is that you don't want, there are certain things you can't really take your time with, like having a couch.
Yeah.
And ordering a couch. Because like one thing we realized that when we went to a couple places, like when you order a couch, you're waiting 8 weeks sometimes, especially if it's custom made. You're waiting minimum 6 weeks, like 8 weeks fully.
You do have to wait a bit, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. And like you're dealing, okay, do I have no couch for 8 weeks? What do we do for temporary couchage?
What?
What?
What did you just say?
Temporary couchage? No.
Seating? Temporary seating? What the hell is a couchage?
That's the word I meant to say.
I don't know. That's like when I said
it's
thunk.
It's late, okay? Yeah, thunk.
Overthunk something.
Oh my god.
You were overthunking it.
I was overthinking it, yeah.
Oh gosh. Honestly, it's in 6 months when it dies down, mm-hmm. you'll actually begin to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And maybe it is now. Like, mm-hmm. don't, like, remember I was telling you, like, try to enjoy this part too, even though it's stressful. Like, mm-hmm. one day you'll look back and you'll just be like, you know what? Like, we're
definitely,
but,
like, we're documenting a lot of it.
Yeah.
And, like, we're making sure that we remember all this. So,
yeah.
It's definitely not lost on us. You know, this is all new and we should be appreciating it and excited. Exactly. Yeah. And then my mind goes a mile a minute and, you know, it loses it for a second, but then it comes back. It comes back.
It's okay.
I know. It's new. It's all new. Whatever.
And you know, when we were, this was actually, so what I did actually was, because life can be kind of hectic sometimes, mm-hmm. we just didn't get the chance to really do, pick out topics, but your comments usually inspire a lot of mm-hmm. our topics for our episodes. One of the topics actually just, or sorry, one of the comments, it's kind of relating to you saying that you documented things mm-hmm. because, what's her name? Samia Magan 509 said, mm-hmm. this is just to remind you both that this podcast works as your time capsule. So even if you might not post as much on social media, your kids or yourself can come back to this and reminisce. And that's why I make vlogs mm-hmm. privately on YouTube.
When I have kids, I'm privating every
the podcast.
How if I privated like all the episodes? I'm like, I don't think about that. I don't know. They don't have to know that existed.
I mean, they won't know how to.
I'll definitely get rid of that. Like the, what do you call it? The untold, like, don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, that was purely your doing.
Mm-hmm. That was something that I think Hanan was mentioning the other day. She's like, you never really get the opportunity to be like, go through your partner's like whole life story and like history and all the details and how he thinks and all those things, but I literally have access to it right now. I can just pull up a podcast and listen to all of them.
I like literally mm-hmm. That's the one thing that I, not that I don't like mm-hmm. but if I'm ever meeting somebody new mm-hmm. not just a relationship wise, I do not mention the podcast mm-hmm. ever. And I hate when other people take that away from me and they mention it, like,
yeah,
before I can ever say anything, mm-hmm. like even like work wise, yeah. I freaking hate when they.
Oh yeah, when that happens.
When they bring it up, like, oh, did you know Sarah has a podcast? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, why are you taking that away from
mm-hmm.
me? Because you're no longer in control of what people know about you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like someone can just easily look you up, and then they
exactly like you want to be able to be like, oh, I have a podcast. Now look at this specific clip.
Exactly, you're. I don't even tell. And even if I do tell people that I'm on, yeah. I don't tell them the name.
Oh, you never tell them the name?
No.
Too?
And if they find me on Instagram, then I'm like, damn it.
Oh, I always tell people I have my podcast. Yeah.
No, but like, and it's, yeah, like mm-hmm. if you want to, I guess if you want to like maintain a friendship or whatever with mm-hmm. them, but when you're trying to get to know someone where you're still in control of what they know about you.
Yeah.
So I don't tell them about the podcast.
Do all your friends from high school and college, stuff like that, mm-hmm. do they know about the podcast?
Some have reached out.
Like, have they?
Like ones that I just didn't have like contact with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, you listen to this? This is crazy.
Okay.
And then it feels weird because like who I was in high school.
Yeah.
Is not who I am now.
Oh, okay. Because I had some high school friends who were like, oh yeah, you have that podcast, right? And this is like 3 years after I told them I had a podcast. I was like, they don't even know that I have like an Instagram page for this thing. I feel like guys, are so
guys
like
are different.
We do not ask like deep questions, and I like this. Like, we just meet up, we chill, we have a good time, we talk about whatever, and then it could be like, okay, I'll see you next week, and you don't see each other for like 3-6 months, maybe a year. And then when you meet up again, you don't mention it again. You're like, okay, cool. And you just have conversation like nothing happened.
So what do you catch up on?
Just life, whatever you're talking about. You know, you
the podcast is a huge part
work.
Of your life.
What?
The podcast is
I'll mention it a little bit here and there. But like, other than that, it's like, guys don't really get that invested like that. I don't know why.
But it's not like you still hang out with your high school friends.
Yeah.
That's why I don't. Like,
oh, okay.
That's I actually, I just, and no shade or anything. Like, a lot of them I have on social, like TikTok, Instagram, like we are connected that way, but I don't see them regularly. Like, it's kind of just like if we run into each other randomly.
Yeah.
And so I don't, like, even if I do run into someone, I'm not just gonna be like, hey, how's your life been the last 10 years? By the way, did you know I have a bot? Like, that's so odd.
Yeah.
But some people that I have run into, they know that I have a podcast and they bring it up like, hey, oh my God, like I saw that you have a podcast. Like, I follow you guys on Instagram. And I'm like a little taken aback.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what their life has been like for the last 10 years. But then they know everything about me. It's a very.
Do they ever say, hey, we should hang out sometime?
Yeah, I've gone that a couple times.
And do you ever hang out? No. Look at you. You know, they just want to catch up, you know?
No, and that's the thing. Like, I feel like I am the queen of, oh my God, yeah, I'll totally call you. Anyone who has said that to that's listening to this, they're like, yeah, I'm still
professional
waiting.
Professional ghoster. Look at you.
It's so bad. Like, you know what it is? I'll tell you what the problem is.
What's the problem?
I was a chronic, like, double booker where I would try to. Is that a word? Not
you double book like people you're about to meet with, like at the same time.
Yeah, or like I'd be like, oh yeah, like we could totally do brunch on Sunday. Yeah, I'll do dinner with you Sunday. Oh yeah, I also have to record somewhere in between that too.
Yeah,
and I'll have like five things or three, four things to do on one day, and then I get overwhelmed, and then I end up just canceling on everybody.
That's one thing I did notice. When you get overwhelmed, you're like, I'm just not gonna do anything.
Yeah, like I just can't. I just shut down. I'm like, I can't do it. But part of my boundaries and just like setting like a decent pace and just not overstressing myself is just do one thing a day.
Exactly.
So like even when I think about it, like sometimes, you know how we have to pivot on the day that we record. I'll just do that. Like recording.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like unless you have a podcast or if you do social media, you get it. Like when you have to film, it takes so much energy.
Yeah.
Like, and brain capacity.
Like the moment we finish this podcast, we're like, okay.
I know. We're like,
done.
Finally. I don't know if you guys can tell. Every time we say bye, how big our smiles are that we're done. Did you ever notice that? Whenever you're watching, whenever I watch it back, I'm like, damn, we smile a little too big every time we say bye.
Hey, you know what? It's because we're trying to bring you the most high impact entertainment, clearly, with this nice and fast and impactful speech I'm currently giving you.
About what? Speech about
no, just
what?
The way I'm talking. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But like, to do that, it takes a lot of energy. Okay. Yeah. Now we sound like influencers just complaining about like, oh my
it's
God,
just like
such
so
hard
much
work. Yeah. Exactly.
There was that one, there was that drama with that one influencer who was saying like, how being an influencer is such a tough job. And then
that happened a while ago. No.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was though.
Was it the one on like that Jubilee kind of show?
There
was a girl on a Jubilee show and like, she was talking about how it's such a tough job, and then another influencer, because there were a bunch of influencers on the show, and they're trying to figure out who makes the most money. And there's another girl, because I guess they had like interviews after the fact, and she was like, yeah, I don't know what she was talking about. This is not a hard job. Like, sure, you know, have to like, you have fulfillments and stuff like that, but I can get up anytime and go and get lunch and get a coffee. I can do whatever I want. I can work whatever hours I want. And then they asked her, like, how much are you working a day? She's like, oh, my God, I'm working, like, 5 hours at least minimum. She's like, minimum 5 hours a day. And, yeah, everybody like, oh, okay. Like, you're going overboard here, especially the comments.
You know what it is? When you're doing like social media and you have brand deals and deadlines and you have to actually create content, that is a full-time job, but it's like you're not confined to the hours of 9 and 5 or 9 to 5, sorry. But you work, I feel like you actually end up working a lot more.
You do work a lot more, but I feel like it's different when you're working for yourself.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, like technically the pressure is that it's all on you.
Mm-hmm. Unless then, you like outsource your like editing and.
Exactly. Like as you become more and more popular and like you have a lot more income to work with, then you can start, you know, outsourcing that kind of stuff and make your day a lot easier.
Yeah.
And so I guess there is usually like, there's like a curve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the work initially isn't that hard because like you're not really making any money from it, so you don't feel any pressure. And the more like followers you start getting, the harder it gets. And then it reaches like a peak to where like it's super hard because like you have a lot of expectations. Like you're not making just enough money to start like paying people off, but like, you still have an audience that you have to fulfill or like please.
Yeah.
But then as your audience increases, you make enough money to start outsourcing that. And then like the workload gets lower and lower and lower until the point where like you're at like a plateau. I feel like that's, you know, we'd have to talk. I'd have to ask my sister exactly how that works. Cause like, I feel like it does plateau and does go get easier over time because first off, you're just more better. You're better at it because you're more experienced. But also, you're delegating more.
Yes, but even with Aisha, like, she still has a huge hand in how her edits go. Like, she hasn't completely let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some of it.
But it allows you to focus on other things, like...
Yeah, and then when you plateau a little bit, too, like, that's when you kind of have to push yourself to be creative and think outside of the box and maybe, like, shift some of your content to... Not just retain your audience, but continue to grow, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, inshallah, we'll get there one day and we can quit our 9 to 5.
Inshallah.
Actually, speaking of careers, this is a good question. Concrete's Lab 801 said, I would love to hear you guys talk about navigating careers in the workplace as Muslims. How you found your career from college and what work has been like throughout the years. I know you probably don't want to speak specifics about your jobs, which is understandable, but even when navigating time off for Ramadan and Eid, etc.
Oh my God, it's the worst. It is so bad. Especially in a country that's like, as progressive as Canada is, and maybe it's just because we're not as like big. It does require you to speak up more, but like if you're like for me, I'm like, you know what? I'll make it work in my environment. So like, finding a place to pray all the time.
So you guys don't have a prayer room?
No, we have a room that we can use, but it's a meeting room, right?
Oh.
And sometimes on very busy days, like, all the meeting rooms are taken. So at that point, you're like, oh my God, time's almost up, guys. I gotta, and they're like, you think they would be done, but it's like almost end of day and they're not done.
Oh, shoot.
And you gotta like find another place to pray, right? Thankfully, now there's like a few spots, you know, me and the Muslim in the crew have found. But that was definitely like hard to navigate initially, especially in like a previous office I had that had no space like that. But also Ramadan, if you see work in a smaller company, I feel like other people who work in a smaller company, I feel like especially in the service industry, if it's like, if you're gone, it's like one of those jobs where like if you're gone, like basically nothing
gets done,
right? But then you start thinking like, okay, like, is this even right? That should this be the case where like if I'm gone, then if a company's failing from one person being gone, or not failing, but like suffering from one person being gone, then there's an issue with management, right?
Staffing.
So that was something we actually spoke up about and were able to fix.
Nice.
Just getting another person. Is it bad that we're like, just make sure you're not Muslim too?
You said that?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say I'm playing. Well, like, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But I was low-key open.
Imagine they're like, and this is Muhammad.
You're exactly. Like, damn it. Exactly, man. And we're like, oh my God. Now all three of us are going to have to figure out how to take Eid off.
You like fight over
Ramadan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now because you have that extra, it's always, you know, you have that one non-halal friend that helps you.
That's actually so funny.
So you don't really feel as bad for taking the day off, right? Because sometimes you just have to call and be like, hey, yo, boss man, you want to start taking some calls today?
Don't kill me.
Yeah, but there we've definitely figured it out. I figured it out over time, of course, but initially mm-hmm. it was definitely super awkward. But it does require you to speak up, even for the you shy people who don't like speaking up.
Mm.
You know, hopefully there's another Muslim in the crew or in the. It depends on how the size of your company, right? But hopefully there's another Muslim there who can like back you up. Especially it helps when HR is also Muslim.
Oh, your HR is Muslim?
Yeah, so you know that. That's well, nice. Recently, so you know that kind of helped too. But it definitely requires you to speak up and just make them know. And you'd be surprised like who's willing to accommodate for you.
And how did you actually? Okay, so before I jump into my question,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think the biggest thing is people are always going to be willing to accommodate. I think it's just about like educating them,
yeah,
so that they understand, and then they're like, yeah, do whatever you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you find your job post college?
Oh no, I got it through co-op. So like, I got the job in college. And then just continue the job after. So I got really lucky with that.
If you have some advice for, you know, people that are maybe in school and trying to navigate like where they want to go with their careers,
I always tell people go into like co-op or internship as soon as you can. Like mm-hmm. if you have to stay an extra year to like get into like an intern program, do it. Because I feel like those things, having some experience coming out of school will definitely help. Other than that, become very personable and like network.
A lot of times, like I know people say this, but it's actually true. Mm-hmm. It literally is who you know, because mm-hmm.
become
very I've seen friendly. It happen. I've yeah. literally seen it happen, and I've made it happen for people because people knew me and I was able to mm-hmm. you know pull some strings. But some, like, although your skill set, your intelligence, yeah. your experience can also help you,
mm-hmm.
the best way to get your foot in the door is through networking.
Yeah. The more people you know, especially if you're going like in your field, like the more people you know in your classes, because a lot of the times one thing is that like, especially for more lucrative careers, like engineering or what else? Like programming or I'm only thinking from like the STEM field. So like anything even in the like sciences businesses.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the times the students who are in that same class as you or in that school usually have like a father or like a parent that's already in the business.
Yeah.
And sometimes because of like nepotism, like they're in school to like get the knowledge and then they're going to work for their parents' company afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the more people you know, the more likely you're about to find someone like that, become friendly with them. I know you feel like you're using someone, but if it's a tough job market, right? You got
to
no, like,
but there's a lot of people that are in their careers that are looking to mentor
mm-hmm.
others, right? Like, you know, even if you're still a student, I think a lot of people that are mentors look for those that are eager to learn and want to excel in their career. So, you know, don't shy away from that. I know networking kind of sucks and it's hard if you're an introvert and you're shy, mm-hmm. it's going to be harder to put yourself out there, but really just fake it till you make it.
Yeah, for real. It sounds like bad thing that you have to do or not bad thing, no. but like it feels like you might be deceptive like in
fake.
A way or fake.
Mm.
But over time you generally start to like, you know, like what you're doing and like the people around you.
Yeah.
Maybe you actually do become friends with them. At the end of the day, you get a job. So I'm just saying, it'll work.
I'm trying to think back, like, how did I get this job?
How did you? You just applied, didn't you?
No, you know what it was?
Yeah. No.
I mean, yeah, I did apply, but it was through a recruiter that mm-hmm. my brother suggested. He was friends with the recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, I was doing a lot of like contract positions because I wasn't planning to stay in Toronto, and so I didn't really care to get like a permanent position, and I yeah. was doing all these contract positions. And then I had like 2 months off where I wasn't even working.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I went to like Turkey and stuff.
Yeah.
And I came back, and once I was back, I'm like, okay, now I need to like focus on, you know, getting a job, because I was no longer moving, and I was like, I need to look for something more permanent.
Yeah.
So my brother connected me with this recruiter. I met with her, and the first position that she sent to me, because like how recruiters work is like they'll tell you about a position, but they don't tell you the company or anything. They're like, do you want an interview for it? And I'm like, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like she's like, this is what the starting salary is. This is what the job entails. Like, do you want to go for it? And when you say okay, then they'll send you, like, they'll basically send the recruiter of that company your details. And then you get an email and you're like, oh, this is the company.
Yeah.
And so that's how I found out about
Starbucks.
Imagine. And so I remember like going to the interview and I was nervous, but I had done so many interviews before this because I was going from contract to contract that like I also was like, it was post heartbreak. So I really just had nothing to lose. I was just like, you know what? It is what it is. If I get it, I get it. But I also was like, I really wanted the job. Like I looked up the company and I'm like, well, this is like a really prestigious place to work. Like kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
So I went in, interviewed, and I don't know, when I left, like I had a good feeling. Like normally you can kind of tell like that didn't go well, you know? Yeah. But I was like, you know, I feel like that was a really good interview. Like when the interview starts to sound more like a conversation and you're just talking and you're able to be yourself, I think that's when the interviewer gets a really good glimpse of your personality.
Because that's honestly the biggest thing, guys, that companies are looking for is, will I like working with this person?
Exactly.
Because a lot of times the jobs and the tasks you're going to be doing, almost anyone can do them. They just have to train. Okay, to a level, to a degree.
From my experience of interviewing as well, because I've done a couple now, it's not solely just about likability. It's also like,
whether you're good at problem
solving.
Is
this person going to be like worth the ROI? Like if I invest, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars into their training and development, like are they going to be able to produce for me? So you kind of have to like sell yourself. Like, are you not just a hard worker, but are you willing to learn? And if you're willing to learn, yeah, I'll take a chance on you, even if you have zero experience. But I remember like I took the train home and, you know, on the subway, when you're, what's the two stops where you're on that bridge and you have like service for a little bit?
Oh, it's like St. George or Castle Frank.
Those are two different lines, but yeah.
Like I think between them is,
it's
between
Castle Frank and Broadview. Broadview.
Oh yeah.
I was there and my phone starts ringing. So I'm like, I pick it up and it's the recruiter.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, how's it going? And I'm just like, hey, yeah, I'm just on the train. Like my service might cut off. He's like, okay, I just wanted to share something with you. And then the phone cuts off. And I was like, damn it. So once I got out of the subway, I called him back and he was like, hey, yeah, like it cut out. I'm like, yeah, sorry, I was on the train. Like, what's up?
It's like, you got the...
Yeah, right? And then he told me that I got the job and I was like, shut up, really? And you're telling me like that quick?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, honestly, they loved you and they wanted to tell you like...
They always know almost immediately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's like, they wanted to tell you like before you left, but like, you know, procedures and protocols.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. When do I start? He's like, how's 2 weeks? I'm like, all right, cool. And then, yeah, from there, like, it genuinely felt like a, I guess, like a fresh start. So I was so, like, happy and excited to be there. And it's been almost 5 years.
And also, you're a good example of how knowing someone can help you get a job, because you also helped our cousin get a job with you guys, too. Right?
Yeah.
Or was it a different way?
No, it was through that.
There you go.
But see? Also you're like, oh, I don't want to put on blast, but like another friend of your dad's.
Really?
Yeah.
He also works there?
Your dad's friend's daughter.
Works there too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly. See, so I'm telling you guys, man, the more, the wider your network is, the wider your net is, the more fish you will catch. Oh, shoot. One second.
Oh, is it about to die? Yeah, where were we?
I forget.
Oh, talking about like just knowing people, networking and stuff.
And, oh yeah, one thing I forgot to mention, I think I've mentioned this before, but if you're young and you're like just out of school and you have supportive parents and the opportunity, just like try, don't look for monetary, what do you call it again?
Don't just look for jobs that have the best salary. Like look for...
Not even salaries in general, like just try and like try different things. You may not even get paid initially, like volunteer for different things, because that can also first also open up your network.
Volunteering.
To eventually getting a job. But also you might be able to get an idea and like become your own entrepreneur and build your own thing. And like we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, when it comes to time, like you'll have more control over your time and you can find out that you're really good at something that you can make a living off of, and you just go on from there. Like, let's say you always had like a love for painting, and but you just felt like you had to go into, because I feel like this happens a lot where people like they have to like go to school to satisfy like their parents, especially in the immigrant community, but they have another passion. And like right after school, let's say you're in the process of looking for a job, quote unquote, you can use that time to like invest more into what you love. And, you know, you might be able to prove that there is some type of value to this, and eventually become successful in it and never have to even worry about applying to a regular job, aka my sister. I literally just described her whole life story.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, your teenage years and your early 20s is the time to take the biggest risks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can honestly, like,
if you have the opportunity, because I know there's some people who just don't have that opportunity, but if you do.
Yeah, and I think, like, one thing that I wish I...
But I wasted my time off. I did not do anything.
I wish we traveled more.
Yeah.
Because since we didn't have the opportunity to, like, move out when we turned 18 and, like, really learn, like, get to know ourselves and, like, learn that sense of responsibility at such a young age, I think traveling gives you such a different perspective on life. Mm-hmm. You get to see how other people in other countries live and, like, learn more about culture. And it really, like, genuinely changes your perspective. And I wish I would have taken more advantage of traveling more, especially, like, as a student, we literally had 4-month summers.
Yeah.
Like, what did we do?
Well, we did travel a little bit, no?
A little bit, but, like, I didn't actually start traveling properly until I graduated, basically.
Well, money was also, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. But, like, you travel on a budget. Like, when you're a student traveling versus, like, when you're older, like, you know, my travel experience is now versus then, night and day. But, you know, I wish, like, I would have. That's why I was saying, like, I wish I would have worked. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, saved all my money and then traveled. Mm-hmm. Cause I feel like that would have given me, like, I think that would have not stopped me from being so mature, but it definitely would have helped me grow up in a different sense. Cause we couldn't move out.
Yeah.
But if I could
technically
travel,
we could actually maybe, yeah,
to put up a fight.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, like, that's the one thing that I wish I could have done differently, I think, is that,
hey, you know,
but it is what it is.
This is who we wouldn't be the same people.
No, right, I know.
Now. We don't know. We could have been a worse person. It might not have worked out. So, you know, we just have to be grateful that we are here right now. And now that we know this, we can hopefully use what our experience and knowledge to inform what we do in the future. Mm-hmm. Right?
I saw a TikTok today.
What?
About this girl who's from Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And the tagline of her TikTok was like, I outgrew my hometown, so I packed up my stuff and left. That's literally what her tagline is, and I was like,
See, some people, you know, but it also, where was she from?
Vancouver.
Like, actual Vancouver City?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Damn.
And you know where she moved?
Where?
Sydney. Similar vibe.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It basically is.
Like, maybe slower paced life, but I already thought Vancouver was, like, slower than Toronto anyways. But if that's all she knows then.
Yeah. You know what? I'm happy for her journey. Hopefully.
Yeah, she seemed really
well
happy.
For her. Yeah. Well, she's an influencer now, no?
I guess, because that video blew. Has, like, 2 million likes.
Exactly. So that was her strategy the whole time.
Yeah, I didn't really, like, look at her profile too much, but I just kind of watched the, like, that one clip, and she went there on, like, a work visitor work visa or whatever the hell it's called, something like that.
Actually, we can do that too.
Yeah, I know.
If you're under 33 or 30, if you're under 35, you can get a work visa. For, I think it's 2 years in either England or Australia, any Commonwealth.
Yeah, not all of our Australian friends like, Sarah, do it!
Yeah, all the Commonwealth can, you can go to any of them for a couple of years just by getting like a work visa or student. I forget what they call a visa, but something
I
like
wish
that.
I did it before. I don't think I would do it now.
Yeah. And also, it's just it's so far. It's all across the world, man.
It's not just that. Like, that's, I can get over that.
Yeah.
I just, like,
I couldn't.
There's just not too much for me to lose. Mm-hmm. I just, this is one thing that I'm going to be stubborn on is like my, I'd rather establish my life here, mm-hmm. because I feel like if I go there for 2 years,
yeah,
I mean, I could just end up liking it and stay there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but then like you coming back,
I have to restart like over again.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're like, oh, that 2 years I could have built something in.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a lot of opportunities, man. I feel like we're still young.
We are still young. But we like, are, yeah, if you think about it.
Life really has just started.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, like, what?
What do you mean by that?
Like, now that we're fully established, like, we have the opportunity, we have, you know, some disposable income to, like, invest into other ideas that we have. You know, yeah. We started the whole podcast thing, right?
So yeah, yeah.
This can build on, other things can build on top of this, and what?
That reminds me of what my mom said to me
right
before I came here. Mm-hmm. She's like, Amir's married now. You guys can, like, you don't have to record anymore. I was like, what? Like, literally,
now
what?
Now is even the time.
And I was like, what do you mean by that? She's mm-hmm. like, yeah, like, you know, aren't you guys over the hobby yet? Like, aren't you bored? I'm like, no. But
that's the one thing I have realized, that the parents still think about it like, oh, you're still doing that?
Yeah, and it kind of hurts my feelings.
You know, the thing is, for them, everything is monetary. Like, until they start seeing real money from something, they won't see any value in it, which is a fortunate way to think of something.
Mm.
But it's just how they've not grown up. Yeah, it's how they've been conditioned to think, because like money was so scarce from when they're young, growing up, not exactly in poverty, but like not in the best environments. And they saw how money helped with everything that was good in their life, or not good in their life, but it made life easier for them.
Yeah. And I understand that, but mm-hmm. we're not in that position.
Well, yeah, but that's, there's still their mindset.
Oh, okay. I get what you mean.
Mm-hmm. So, you can't really blame, you can't really like get too mad at them. I'm like,
no, I'm not mad. I laughed. Mm-hmm. I laughed when she said it, because it was just the way she said it. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, we're not. I'm like, even if I get married, like, mm-hmm. even if I have a child, I'm gonna hold this child on my lap.
Yeah.
Like, we're recording. We're gonna make it work. Like, mm-hmm. and I know, like, the biggest question that we got, especially when you got married, was mm-hmm. like, oh, are you guys gonna stop the podcast? And yeah. I was like, why would we stop? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get it. Even if you moved, we would have just figured it out.
Because there's so much more to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, well, at least once I start experiencing more, I feel like it's going to be a lot more that I can. And also, just like, even the stuff that I experienced getting here, there's a lot to talk about in that one, right?
Yeah, you never actually, maybe next week's episode.
Mm-hmm. When we have a little bit more time to prep.
Yeah, we can talk about, like, you know, the courting phase, mm-hmm. how you made it, like, I know a lot of people always ask you, like, how do you know she was the one? Mm-hmm. Like, you can talk about that process. Like,
yeah.
You know, whatever you want to include in that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would like to hear.
Hey, just stick that. Around on the podcast. Make sure you subscribe.
Oh, my God. Speaking of, I forgot to tell you this. Last week, we were so close to 7,000 subscribers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I already knew about this, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're at 7,048.
Okay. Look at you guys, man.
I think I made a post about
this. You did it before you even put out the podcast.
Yeah. You guys, this is actually so exciting. And I know to some people, they're like, 7,000 is nothing. But, mm-hmm. like, that's a big deal. We're so, like, we're on our way to 10,000 subscribers, which is insane.
Hey, but I'm still appreciative of the 7,000, okay?
I'm very, like, the way that I think about it is, if I saw 7,000 people in front of me, mm-hmm. I would die.
Yeah.
I literally would die. Like, I don't even know how I would mm-hmm. handle
I'd be
that.
Totally fine. I'm chill. I'm no, chill like that.
Amir's eyes would be darting. I'm nonchalant from person
like
to
that,
person.
You know? Just like that, you know?
But thank you guys so much. Like, that's, it's crazy. We love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I never finished my answer about the how you navigate the workplace. I got lucky
oh, yeah.
in terms of, like, there we have a prayer room
Do you guys have a prayer room already?
Actually, the most exciting thing
yeah.
is they just recently built us a wudu station.
Really?
Yeah.
Inside the offices?
Yeah. So like it's a big building. Mm-hmm. And so there's this whole one of the floors is dedicated to like they have different spaces. So they have like a VR station, like massage chairs, like personal pods.
Really?
There's what's the room? Like rooms for mothers who are
breastfeeding,
pumping. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have their kids there to breastfeed, but like they pump in there.
Yeah.
They have the like, it's like a quiet room where there's this huge like couch that looks like a bed, and you literally just like there's like trees and stuff. It's very relaxing.
Yeah.
They have like
this is for the whole building. So
for
like,
the whole for everyone that works for the company.
Oh, does your company owns the whole building?
Yeah, they own the whole building, but they rent out certain floors to like other companies. Yeah.
Okay.
So whoever works for our company has access to this floor. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they just they call it the wellness center. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like they have the prayer room.
Yeah.
And they have the wudu station, which is really nice.
Look at you guys.
I know.
We'll work on that. Okay.
We still don't get Eid and Ramadan off yet, but we could book it off, and like they don't really ask questions; they just give it to us.
We should join what do they call it? Parliament. And fight for that. Mandatory Eid and Ramadan days off for all Muslims.
Only Muslims?
Yeah.
But then they can argue and say, okay, Muslims have to work on Christmas and Easter. That's what I thought. So unless you're trying to make...
if you say it like that, okay.
Unless you're trying to make Eid like a statutory holiday.
We could make it like a Truth and Reconciliation Day. We have that here, which I just discovered. Well, not just discovered, but
we
like...
We get that day off?
No, we don't get it off. Okay. But I feel like it's like Juneteenth for black people in America, where like the natives can get that day off, or like they can take that day off without questions asked. I don't know if that's actually a thing, but I assume that's the case.
Wait, Juneteenth. Do black people
see.
Get that off?
Huh? Well, like, I feel like... It would be weird if, like, you ask your white manager, hey, as a black man, can I take Juneteenth off to celebrate the, not really emancipation of my people, because Juneteenth, I think, was, like, the last slaves. Let me search this up before I make myself look dumb. 1 second. Juneteenth. Oh, my God. I'm not going to keep this in. I need to know what this is. Freedom finally came. Oh, yeah, it was Emancipation Day. Yeah. Mm. June 19th, 1865, with some 2,000 Union troops arrived in Galveston Bay, Texas. The Army announced that more than 250,000 enslaved people in the state were free by executive decree. Okay, so, yeah, it actually was. But I believe, like, they were free before that, but that they had to actually go there to free them and, like, tell them, okay, like, the law has been placed, you know, because, like, you know, they didn't have internet back then. Mm. But, yeah, that was... That's what Juneteenth for, and I believe that, like, typically black people will take that day off.
Oh, they actually take the day off?
I think so, don't they? Am I being racist by saying this?
I know, like, I've seen it on social media, but, racist, like,
whatever.
I don't know. I feel like we're a little ignorant about this one.
I'm just
going to
search, can natives take Truth and Reconciliation?
They deserve to, even if they do, like, let them take it off.
The Asian... day off. Ontario Public Service employees will not receive the day off, according to the one union, but Indigenous employees can make a request to receive a paid compassionate day.
Oh.
What's like a compassionate... do they still have to go?
No, they take the day off.
It's okay, yeah, there though. You go. So yeah, they can take the day off.
Hmm.
See? They got their own holiday, man. I'm just saying.
I mean...
I'm not totally ignorant.
I don't know, like it would be nice to not have to use your vacation time or sick day or whatever and just have the day off.
Yeah,
but then you have to remind yourself you're not in a Muslim country, so like
yeah, but you know. I feel like it's easier to take it off though in a bigger company than it is in a small company.
Yeah, because you're not like it depends, like my team now we are a team of 6 supervisors, so really like my manager approves all of my vacation requests. It's not him that I have to seek approval from. It's more so just arranging my calendar and moving around any meetings or trainings or whatever I'm needed for, moving that out of the way, and then I can just go whenever, as long as I have the time off.
Okay. Well, now you see how we navigate it in a large company.
Yeah.
Large companies, I feel like at this point, have got the message, and they have been doing that by adding prayer rooms. It's just the smaller companies where, like, when you have only one Muslim there, like, unless they speak up and start saying something, they're not really going to think about it like that.
So yeah, you kind of have to advocate for yourself.
Yeah. But, you know, as you can take our examples for a big company or a smaller company on what we've done. And hopefully some of this podcast or some of the advice we gave here was helpful. If not, just unsubscribe and leave us forever.
Oh, why would you say that?
I'm playing.
Don't listen to him. I'm not playing. Guys, don't listen to Amir. I don't know what he's saying.
But yeah, then if you did like this video, go ahead and subscribe and follow us on all our pages at Cousin Connection Pod. That's on Instagram and TikTok. And I have a 40-hour drive ahead of me, so we're going to end this now because my wife is also waiting in the next room.
If you give us, what's our goal to get her on the episode? 500 thumbs up?
Yeah, give us 500 likes? Thumbs up. And likes. We'll get my wife on the episode. Okay, inshallah. I had to ask her first. Bye.
Wait, I didn't say bye. Okay. Bye.
100%. Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.